Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Human immunity is the state of being immune from or insusceptible to a disease or more. It's the protection against infectious disease and illness given by the immune response. It includes capacity to distinguish foreign material in the body and to neutralize, eliminate, or metabolize that which is foreign. Our guest on This Week in America, international holistic health expert, best-selling author Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D., will focus on how to optimize your entire immune system naturally by enjoying or avoiding certain foods and incorporating or eschewing some lifestyle practices. It's up to each of us to bolster our immune system so we can be as healthy as humanly possible. Dr. Susan, welcome back to the program. Great to have you with us. Great topic today.
Hi, Rick. Wonderful to be with you, and such an important topic.
It really
is. Not just this time of year, but year-round, so we stay healthy.
It's something we've heard a lot more about, obviously, in recent months, on bolstering our immunity. Let's start off, before we jump into foods and vitamins that help to strengthen our immunity, in a nutshell, basically, in simple terms, tell us about the ABCs of immunity. Give us a little immunity 101 before we get started.
Yes, I'd love to. Now, you might remember that ages ago, my loving grandmother, Fritzy, used to say to me, health comes from the farm and not the pharmacy. She also taught me that the closer we live to nature and take advantage of nature's treasure trove of natural remedies, the easier it will be to heal the body and maintain wellness. And this is the time of year, and for some people it's year-round, when a lot of people experience a cold or a flu, or whether it's COVID, other illnesses are more common in the winter time of the year. And the immune system is our first line of defense in maintaining optimum health. It is a miraculous, complex system of physiologic barriers, such as the skin and the mucosal membranes and associated immune cells. And like a stellar, finely honed military system, its job is to identify and destroy invading pathogens, including viruses and bacteria. And the immune system also inhibits toxins that can damage cells, including environmental pollutants and free radicals. And as well, it can recognize those rogue cells in our body that have been or have become malignant and eliminate them before a serious condition occurs.
Susan Smith-Jones, our guest on the program. Her website is very simple, susansmithjones.com. More information there. And in her book, Wired for High-Level Wellness, Simple Ways to Rejuvenate, Meditate, and Prosper, talking about foods and lifestyle practices to bolster immunity. So what happens when the immune system is weakened?
Okay, excellent question. When your immune system is weakened, such as, let's say, Rick, by stress, lack of exercise, inadequate sleep, poor diet, or the intake of drugs and alcohol, the body is more susceptible to colds, flu, viruses, and other infections. And a depressed immune system can play a role in the development of cancer as abnormal cell growth goes unchecked. And years of chronic low-level inflammation, you and I have done a whole show on inflammation
yes.
before, and that's an indicator of an out-of-balance immune system, can contribute to diseases like cardiovascular disease. And on the other hand, an overactive immune system can also cause problems in autoimmune diseases such as, rheumatoid arthritis and lupus. The body mistakes healthy tissues for toxic agents, and allergic reactions, too, occur when the immune system overreacts to a normally harmless invader such as dust. Now, if, Rick, your beautiful immune system is not doing its job properly, your defenses against illness are weakened.
Yes.
And, for example, if there's a cold virus or COVID or something going around, you're more likely to get it. Bacteria in food becomes more distinctly dangerous than they were before. And after a while, you will find your doctor will really be pushing the flu vaccine more vigorously on the theory that your normal defenses are down. You and I have talked about this before off the air, but I've never had a flu shot. I haven't had a flu in 35 years, but I do know how to keep really good care of my immune system. And your white blood cells can even lose some of their vigilance against cancer if your immune system isn't functioning at a high level.
That's interesting. With the white blood cells, is it possible that we can strengthen the white blood cells?
And yes, you know, this miraculous body that God's given us, it's designed so you can strengthen your white blood cells. As amazing as this may sound, you can whip this sorry bunch of soldiers into fighting form and gain immune strength that you may never have had before. And the key to the change are the nutrients that reach them. And by the way, one surprising reason for a loss in immune strength may be cholesterol. When scientists have added cholesterol to white blood cells in a test tube, the immune strength was greatly reduced. And some evidence suggests that cholesterol harms the cells' outer membranes, making them less able to function. And the more cholesterol there is in your blood, the more likely it is that this will happen. Keep in mind that you only get cholesterol from animal-based foods.
So we want to avoid cholesterol. Are there any other foods that harm our immune system that we really need to stay away from?
So, all right, good. In addition to the cholesterol, fat in the food you eat can actually harm your immunity. See, white blood cells swim through the bloodstream looking for bacteria and cancer cells. I'm simplifying this, of course. They cannot work in an oil slick. And for them, a cheeseburger with fries is like an Exxon Valdez tanker disaster.
Okay.
Not too long ago, researchers in New York asked, I wouldn't have volunteered for this though, asked a group of men, well, maybe because I'm not a man, but I wouldn't want to be in this study. They asked a group of men to cut their fat intake in half from about 40% of the calories to 20%. And by the way, I wouldn't want to be in the study for many reasons because they went on to do other things like put a needle into the arm and put oil into the body to see what would happen. That's why I didn't want to be part of this study.
Do not
but here's
you.
What's interesting. So they cut their fat intake from 40% of the calories to 20. 3 months later, Rick, a blood sample was drawn from each subject, and their white blood cells' ability to knock out cancer cells was tested. And on the low-fat diet, their natural killer cells were noticeably better at knocking out the cancer cells. And those who cut their fat intake the most had the strongest natural killer cells. And research has gone so far, you know, in this study, and this is what I was talking about, to hook up an intravenous line into these volunteers and slowly drip soybean oil into their veins. I added you to the list for that one.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And once again, their immune cells did not work very well. So what's the takeaway for this? For your heart, corn oil or olive oil is better than chicken or beef fat. But as far as your immune system is concerned, vegetable oils are every bit as bad as animal fats. And an immune-boosting menu keeps all fats to modest amounts. Now, I'm not talking about natural fats that you get in food, like avocados and nuts and seeds, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Those, of course, are great for you. You want to stay away from an overabundance of fat in your diet and don't have your fat intake any higher than 20% of the calories that you eat throughout the day.
Boy, so much information. The topic today, if you're just joining us, foods and lifestyle practices to bolster immunity. Our guest on the program is Susan Smith Jones, PhD. Her website is SusanSmithJones.com. She's the founder and president of Health Unlimited, a Los Angeles-based consulting firm dedicated to high-level wellness and human potential. Frequent radio, television guest, motivational speaker, author of a number of books, including a book that's gaining worldwide recognition, Wired for High-Level Wellness, Simple Ways to Rejuvenate, Meditate, and Prosper. Let's go back and talk about immunity. In terms of immunity, immune boosting. Are there any vitamins that are immune boosting, and maybe the foods that we can eat to get more of these vitamins in our daily diet?
Yes. You know, and my grandmother would have loved this. You know, back in the day, she told me what to eat. But way back then, we didn't have the science we do now. And absolutely, there are certain nutrients and foods that are clearly essential if you want good immune strength. One immune supercharger is beta-carotene. And when our diets contain as little as 30 milligrams of beta-carotene, and by the way, that's the amount in about two large carrots, we have measurable increases in natural killer cells and T helper cells, all this military. Beta-carotene counteracts age-related changes in T cells. So if you want to age more gracefully and look younger, you want the beta-carotene. And it helps us to maintain, the beta-carotene does, an active immune system. So what foods? Dark leafy greens like spinach, kale, Swiss chard, turnip greens, and especially beet greens. These all pack about 30 to 60 milligrams per serving. You also want to make friends with sweet potatoes, cantaloupe, butternut squash, red bell peppers, apricots, broccoli, peas, a few others for boosting your levels of beta-carotene. So, Rick, what do all these have in common? They're all plant-based foods. You can't go wrong. You really want your diet to be fruit and vegetable-centric.
You know, I mean, taking notes as we're going here, there's so much great information that will make us all healthy and build this immunity that we're now so concerned about, bolster the immunity. How about different vitamins? I know you've mentioned vitamin E.
So, yes. Vitamin E, you can find a lot of that in nuts and seeds and whole grains, not refined ones, and beans and more. What does it do? It stimulates the immune system, boosting both B cells and T cells, and it increases the ability of your beautiful white blood cells to engulf bacteria. Foods that are rich in vitamin E include sunflower seeds, almonds, Brazil nuts, almond milk. I love to make that a couple times a week. Hazelnuts, avocado, red sweet pepper, raw, of course, mango, salmon, raw turnip greens. By the way, Brazil nuts are very rich in the mineral selenium, which is also great for the immune system. In fact, one Brazil nut a day gives you your daily worth of selenium, and it's really good for the prostate gland in men.
Okay, I need to, as soon as we finish the program today, look for a health food store that has has that.
Yeah.
And,
one Brazil nut a day, that's all you need.
Well,
so you get good selenium.
I'll try two just to be on the safe side.
That's
vitamin E. We hear a lot about vitamin C. Does that apply to helping boost our immunity?
Yes. Now, the power of vitamin C against colds was made famous. Do you remember by whom?
No.
You probably will go, oh, yeah, that's right when I tell you. It was by the famous Nobel laureate Linus Pauling.
Okay, yes.
Yes, and he found that vitamin C can not only make colds less likely to occur, but when the colds do arrive, it can make them go away sooner. But here's one note of caution. A lot of people don't know this. People who take high doses of vitamin C, and I take it all the time for immunity, but if you take it extra, because all of a sudden you're getting a cold and you take extra, you should not stop it abruptly. The body's absorption of this vitamin is temporarily reduced by continued high dose, and suddenly discontinuing it can cause the amount in the blood to plummet, which invites a cold to flare up again. So if vitamin C pills are used, if you use them, and then discontinued, they should be tapered off over a period of about 2 weeks. But if, like with me here, your normal diet is rich in fruits and vegetables, your vitamin C protection will continue uninterrupted. I would take it all the time, though, just as a preventative. And that's probably one reason why I don't get colds or flu. But here are the best vitamin C foods. And you'll see that I'm saying things we've already said with beta-carotene. Sweet green or red peppers, tomato juice, orange and orange juice, oranges, strawberries, papaya, pink grapefruit, by the way, has more nutritional value than the white, broccoli, pineapple, even potatoes, but most of the C is in the skin, so scrub those potatoes well and make sure you eat the skin. Let me add to that Brussels sprouts, kiwi fruit, mango, cantaloupe, cauliflower, and lemon. Keep in mind, too, because this is why I eat lots of raw foods in my diet, and with the water-soluble vitamins like the B and the C, cooking does reduce the amount of these vitamins in the fruits and vegetables, so eat as much raw as possible.
All of this information and much more at Dr. Susan's website, susansmithjones.com. You also talk about, I think I'm saying this correctly, we'll try quercetin. And I'll spell that here as well. I'll spell it right now so if people can't understand what I'm talking about. It's quercetin. Why is that so important?
Okay, Rick, I love that we're talking about this. It's one of my most favorite immune boosters. It's a pigment that belongs to a group of plant compounds called flavonoids. You and I have talked about those before.
Yes.
And by the way, some of the latest research I've read that hasn't even been published yet, so you'll see it in a few months, is that quercetin enables zinc through the cell membrane to halt replication of a virus, like any virus, including COVID. And flavonoids are present in fruits, vegetables, grains, especially a lot in green tea. Now, just quickly, 101 on flavonoids and free radicals, and that's not a group here in South Central LA. But the beneficial effects of flavonoids, like quercetin, come from their ability to function as antioxidants inside your body. And antioxidants are compounds that can bind to and neutralize your free radicals. And to review, in case you haven't been in school in a while, those free radicals are unstable molecules that may cause cellular damage when their levels become too high. And damage caused by free radicals has been linked to numerous chronic conditions, including cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. So quercetin is one of the most abundant flavonoids in the diet. It's estimated that an average person consumes about 10 to 100 milligrams of it daily through various sources. Some good sources of quercetin include onions, apples, grapes, berries, broccoli, citrus fruits, cherries, green tea, asparagus, red leaf lettuce, and capers. Do you know what a caper is, Rick?
No. But I've heard of it. What is it?
Have you eaten capers?
I probably have.
it looks like a little green pea, but it's a cooked and pickled flower bud.
Okay,
say to you, too, on a personal note, because I've read now these studies about what I just said, that quercetin enables zinc, which helps immunity, through the cell membrane to halt replication of the virus. So I take 500 milligrams extra a day in a supplement form, in a capsule, besides getting it in the foods. And here are some other things that it does for you. It boosts your immunity overall, like what I just said about helping zinc. It helps fight inflammation. It combats allergies. It aids in exercise performance, helps maintain general health. So you want to make sure you get good quercetin in your diet.
Our guest on the program is Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, talking about foods, lifestyle practices to bolster immunity. How strong can our immunity get? Is there a limit? I mean, do we max out on immunity?
Yes, and I just thought of one more thing before I answer that. I also take extra, we don't have time to talk about this, but you hear on the news a lot that the most important things to take are D3, vitamin C, and zinc to help combat a virus. And I take supplements of D3 and zinc every day. And sometimes you can find immune supplements that have all these different things in it. So rather than opening 10 different bottles, you just open one. But this is fascinating to me that I just read this in the last week through in a few studies. 80% of COVID patients were low, and 80%, Rick, were low in vitamin D3. So I would say next time you go to your doctor, you get a physical, you do your blood profile, check your level of vitamin D, and if it's low, you know, and you're not getting enough sunshine, you might want to take a supplement. I'm one of those people that doesn't absorb it very well in my body. For it to be in the right level in my blood profile, I take 10,000 IUs. I take two tablets of 5,000, equaling 10,000 IUs of vitamin D3 a month. For a lot of people, that would be too much. But when I get my blood profile done, then it's right where I want it to be, at about 75 or 80. So you asked how strong can our immunity get.
Is there a limit?
Here's a quick example. If you were to eliminate all animal fats and keep vegetable oils to a minimum, like your EVOO, extra virgin olive oil, and then boost vitamin-rich vegetables and fruit, your immune strengthening effect would be profound. Not long ago, at a German cancer research center in Heidelberg, yeah, that's how you say it.
Yes.
Compared the immune strength of vegetarians to that of people on typical omnivorous diets. And they took a blood sample from each subject and tested the ability of their white blood cells to destroy standardized samples of cancer cells. And it turned out that the vegetarians had an enormous advantage. And compared to non-vegetarians, they had more than twice the natural killer cell ability to destroy cancer cells. And that extra boost can also help counteract the loss of natural killer cell activity that often comes as we get older. You know, as we get older, we lose some things that we had when we were younger. So the takeaway of this is to emphasize as many plant-based foods as possible. You know, I happen to eat a plant-based diet that works best for me, but if you eat animal products in your diet, You might want to choose to keep them to a minimum. Eat them almost as condiments, and then emphasize lots of vegetables and fresh fruits.
If we have time here, give us a list of maybe the worst immune suppressors. Probably scare a lot of us, but what are some of the worst ones?
All right, I'll just rattle them off because we don't have time to detail them, and we've talked about most of these in previous shows, but you want to keep your stress levels low. You don't want your stress to be unmanaged and chronic. Little to no exercise really suppresses the immune system. Your goal is to get at least 150 minutes of exercise a week. That should be a minimum. Inadequate sleep. Not just one night won't be that much of a big deal, but if it's chronic, you've got to get adequate sleep. Sugar intake lowers your immunity. Exposure to allergens, like food and environmental allergens. Toxic buildup, if you're not doing a good job in your body with cleansing through the bowels, lungs, skin, and kidneys, which is why I highly believe in saving up your money and getting a personal infrared sauna, which there's no better way to detoxify your body year-round. Trans fat intake will suppress immunity, so will smoking. That's a no-brainer.
Susan Smith-Jones is our guest on the program. Her website is susansmithjones.com. It's interesting, in your book, Wired for High-Level Wellness and the Curative Kitchen and Lifestyle, books, all of her books available at our website, susansmithjones.com. You talk about natural herbs. You're into natural herbs. Are there any herbs that support the immune function that we should be aware of?
Yes, and again, when I was a teenager, I started learning all about this from my grandmother, a little bit from my mom, but mostly from my grandmother. So I'm really into herbs, culinary herbs, regular herbs, looking to nature to help heal your body and keep it healthy. Various herbs can provide both direct and indirect support to the immune system. Some herbs, for example, may stimulate the production of immune cells, including the white blood cells, the macrophages, the phagocytes, and these all fight viral and bacterial invaders. But other herbs may provide support to major organs like the liver and the kidneys, which eliminate toxins from the body. So here are some of my favorite herbs and what they do to the body and why I actually include most of these in my diet every day. The first one is called, and these are all great words, Rick, to bring up at boring parties when you have nothing else
okay.
to talk about. And I like these multi-syllable words. Astragalus. Astragalus is an adaptogen. That means it could be taken every single day, whereas echinacea is not an adaptogen. You might take it at the first sign of a cold. We'll get to that next.
Okay.
But astragalus is a traditional Chinese herb and East Indian medicine used for thousands of years. It's also known as Wang Qi. I've taken it for about 40 years. That's probably one of the reasons I never get sick. And research shows that it strengthens and rejuvenates the body. And some of the latest research shows that it's immune-stimulating and anti-cancer properties are phenomenal. Astragalus appears to fortify the immune system by increasing the number of immune cells in the body. It stimulates infection-fighting activity of the macrophages and the production of something called, you've heard of this, interferon. That's a cellular protein that fights off invading organisms. And as a result, this astragalus can boost your immunity against colds and the flu, as well as bacterial and fungal infections. Cancer patients, by the way, have particular benefits with this. Studies show that this root, astragalus root, can stimulate the immune system of individuals with cancer, inhibit the growth of tumors, and lessen the side effects of chemotherapy and radiation. I happen to drink a tea every day. I've done this for years. It's got different herbs in it, different herbs and roots. It's called longevity tea. And one of the roots in it is astragalus. So I've had this tea every single day.
Interesting. All of this information and so much more at Susan's website and also in Dr. Susan's book, Wired for High-Level Wellness and the Curative Kitchen and Lifestyle. You mentioned, and I can't pronounce all of these, but way too many syllables for me. What else? You mentioned astragalus.
Echinacea.
Echinacea.
Echinacea. Yes. Say that quickly three times.
I can't say it slowly once, so go ahead. I'll take your word for it.
You don't even know this, but I paint on the side. I'm an artist, and I'm looking at one of my paintings here in my office that's about 2 feet by 3 feet, and it's a beautiful echinacea plant with a monarch butterfly I put on it. And echinacea is also known as purple coneflower, and it was used by the Native American Indians for centuries. And studies show that when you take echinacea, like I mentioned a moment ago, at the first sign of a viral illness, let's say you have a sore throat or you think you're getting a cold, echinacea can reduce the length and severity of infections, including colds and the flu. And like astragalus, echinacea appears to work by increasing the number of immune cells in the body and stimulating production of interferon. It also stimulates the phagocytosis, you know, the function of the immune system, in which immune cells, they engulf and grab and magnetize them, and I don't really mean magnetize, but I mean surrounds them, and then destroys invaders like viruses and bacteria. Echinacea is very powerful in the body. And it also inhibits the production of a bacterial enzyme called hyaluronidase, and that spreads, infecting bacteria throughout the body. But again, echinacea is not one you take every day. It's not an adaptogen like astragalus. You take it when you think you're not feeling so well, and then continue on, and then stop taking it after that.
Garlic is on the list as well. What are the benefits?
Garlic, yum, yum. See, the garlic bulb, of course we know that it flavors lots of dishes. It's also known as a natural penicillin around the world, and it's a powerful infection fighter. It has antimicrobial properties, making it a very potent defender against typhoid and dysentery and streptococcus bacteria, as well as an antidote to colds and flu. There's a compound, an organosulfur compound in garlic that's been shown to shrink tumors of skin cancer patients. So whether you take it in food form, you know, you put it in your smoothies or cook dishes with it, I also take supplements of garlic just because I know how good it is for my body.
Susan Smith-Jones, our guest on the program, talking about foods and lifestyle practices to bolster immunity. Also on the list, oregano oil. Talk about the benefits.
Yes, oregano oil. Oregano, we all know, in Italian food.
Yes.
But this high-potency purifier provides an excellent support for the immune system. But the oil of oregano, this supplement, is extracted from wild oregano plants, and there are two key compounds that it possesses. They're called carvacrol and thymol. Not that you need to remember those, but it's got two key compounds, and studies have shown that both of these compounds have significant effect on harmful microorganisms that cause illness. And oregano oil is very potent. You can just put a couple drops under your tongue. But it's a potent antiviral and bacterial, antifungal, and antiparasitic oil that also can reduce pain and inflammation and effectively fight off infections. So I know some people take it every day. I don't, but if I'm feeling a little less than my vibrant self, or if I'm traveling, I'll take it with me. The first sign of something, I might add that in.
This herb, I'm going to try to say this here. Pau de Arco bark. Was I close to that?
Very good. Very Pau de Arco. You're right.
Okay.
All right. That's a natural herb. You're the winner. It's a natural herb. It's from a bark of a tree. It's a South American tonic. That's a source of over 20 beneficial phytocompounds. Phyto means plant, but it's not a dog's name always. It's phytocompounds. And it includes many compounds that support the immune system. And it's used worldwide as a supportive herb in cancer treatment programs to help lessen the side effects of chemotherapy. And by the way, to fortify overall immune defenses. Pau de Arco is currently being researched for its anti-tumor properties. So that's a good one just to have on hand. And then one more I'll talk about. And we talked about this last month when the whole show was about liver health. And I'll let you say it. What is it?
Milk thistle seed.
There you go. Yes, milk thistle. And I actually have a picture of this in my office that I painted. Milk thistle is a natural liver protectant. And it's an antioxidant that supports the entire immune system. Silymarin is a compound of milk thistle that protects the liver from the effects of alcohol and all other toxins found in food. It also promotes an enzyme production to break down and eliminate toxins. I don't drink alcohol, but I would say if anybody listening has any alcohol at all, if you do this daily, you should always have a little milk thistle in your diet every day to help protect your liver.
Interesting. All of this on Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com. Give you information on the book we've been talking about here in a second. Let's take a few minutes here at the end and summarize all the many things we can do to build our immunity, and we can do it on a daily basis.
So, all right, in a walnut nutshell here, fruits, vegetables, beans, whole grains, they all contain beta-carotene, vitamin C and E, D3, zinc, selenium. And by the way, what is the nut you want? One nut will give you your daily supply of selenium.
Okay, that would,
and you were gonna get two of them.
That would be I'm going back through my notes here. The one with the prostate.
It's a country. It begins with a B. Brazil.
A Brazilian nut.
Yeah, right. Brazil nuts, like one a day, is great. Quercetin and again the selenium are great to strengthen the immune system. In addition to their antioxidant properties, zinc is excellent. You want to reduce the cholesterol that you eat. You want to get your cholesterol level down in your body. That will help keep your white blood cells strong. You want to reduce fat in your diet, especially from animal sources, and keep vegetable sources like oils to a minimum, because that will improve your white blood cells' ability to work and keep your immune system functioning at a high level. I'd also say to eschew fried foods, really not good for you. And the best way to reach these goals is with an emphasis on vegetable-rich foods, low-fat, as many fruits and vegetables, plants, whole grains, nuts, seeds. Eat as much raw food as possible. Don't forget sprouts. You can grow your own sprouts in about 2 minutes a day. It takes 2 to 7 days to grow sprouts like broccoli or alfalfa. I sprout my garbanzo beans, and so I make delicious raw hummus. And, I've got a book called Kitchen Gardening, Rejuvenate with Homegrown Sprouts. It's a beautiful color book on, because I've been known as the sprout lady in North America for several decades. But I give you the ABCs on how to grow sprouts. And then let's not forget, get ample sleep, lots of purified water, keep stress levels down. What else? Exercise regularly. Spend as much time as possible in nature with the fresh air and the sunshine will give you vitamin D. I'd also say add in your meditation, your visualization, your prayer work. You know, visualize yourself as healthy with a robust immune system. And finally, do whatever you can to get a personal infrared sauna. You can get one for one person, two or three. There's nothing better to give you whole body, head to toe, detoxification and rejuvenation sitting in the welcoming warmth of a infrared so it doesn't feel like it's suffocatingly hot. And one session is like doing a 3-mile jog or an hour workout in the gym, and you're sitting in the sauna. By the way, if you go to the homepage of my website, SusanSmithJones.com, right at the top left it says 10 benefits of an infrared sauna. You'll find lots of good information there. I've had one for decades. I wouldn't be without it. I use it a few times a week. And I don't want to go to a, especially now,
avoid those, and
then use a community sauna where other people sweat out their toxins. I want to know that my infrared sauna is clean and I can use it anytime I want in the privacy of my own home.
And all those toxins on the floor are yours, so you know that. You don't have to worry about who was in there. Whose toxin does that belong to? Where can people go to get information? The monthly newsletters haven't been mentioned, but those are available. Wired for High Level Wellness, the book we've talked about, the other books as well. Where can they get information on all of this? Sign up for the newsletters and get information on all your books.
Yes, so go to SusanSmithJones.com. And then right in the navigation bar, check on blog, a new book. We'll talk about Wired for High Level Wellness. You can read the foreword. You can get a sample of the book. You can look at the table of contents. And over right at, there's a picture of me by a lake. I'm on a bridge. It says free monthly newsletters right there. You click on that. It takes 10 seconds. You can sign up for my wonderful healthy living newsletters that you get just once a month. That I don't inundate you with emails. Once a month you'll get a great newsletter with excellent information and lots of photos. Just it's good advice every month.
It really is.
Like a booster shot.
Well, it is. It's well done, and you will look forward to it. There is a lot of information. You will use it as a reference point, not only throughout that month, but you'll save all these, I'm sure, in your computer and go back from time to time and look through all the valuable information there. It's SusanSmithJones.com. Dr. Susan Smith-Jones has been our guest on the program, talking about foods and lifestyle practices to bolster immunity. Dr. Susan, always a pleasure. What great information on the program today, and we'll do it again next month.
Thank you. Now go get your Brazil nut and your caper.
I've got that, the caper. I've got both those circled on my notes here. That'll be the first thing I do after I leave the program here today. Thank you so much for joining
us.
Thank
you.
Thank you. We'll talk again next month. All this information on Dr. Susan, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.